Coming up on episode 129 of TritonCast, it's another look at Tritons in the pros. We've brought you conversations with pro baseball players, pro basketball players, and pro water polo players. But this week, it's a new level for TritonCast as we catch up with the first two former UC San Diego tennis players to hit the pro pickleball tour. Naomi Wynn and Daniel Traxler will tell us what it's like earning a paycheck in the fastest growing sport in the country, the mental and physical differences between tennis and pickleball, which skills translate from one court to the other, favorite memories as a Triton, and more. Professional pickleballers Naomi Wynn and Daniel Traxler are in the Triton spotlight this week on TritonCast. Welcome to episode 129 of TritonCast, the podcast for UC San Diego Athletics. I'm Jeff Turiel. Whether you found us on UCSDTritons.com or on your favorite podcast platform, thank you for joining us this week and making us part of your day. Now, before we get to this week's Triton Spotlight, let's go around campus. Congrats to recent honorees from fencing, women's rowing, track and field, water polo, and men's volleyball for being recognized on the CSC Academic All-District team. Fall sports will be here before we know it. There's a terrific feature online about women's soccer goalkeeper Jenny Franck, who survived the cancer scare and is now thriving for the Tritons. The 2026 men's soccer schedule is on UCSDTritons.com. The Tritons will compete this season as a member of the Pac-12. For men's and women's soccer season tickets, visit UCSDTritons.com/tickets. Well, now it's on to our Triton Spotlight. The sport of pickleball has surged in popularity, rising to become the fastest-growing sport in the United States. A pair of former Triton tennis standouts have put down their tennis rackets to play pickleball professionally. Daniel Traxler graduated as the men's program's all-time leader in Division I singles wins. And over the course of her 4 years on the court, Naomi Wynn was victorious in 40 women's doubles matches, more than anyone else in the program's Division I era. Both Traxler and Wynn now play on the Carvana PPA Tour, that's pickleball's professional circuit. And Wynn was also drafted by the SoCal Hard Eights of Major League Pickleball. Daniel joins us from San Diego, North County, while Naomi checks in from her home base in Metro Phoenix. Daniel, let's start with you. When did you start playing pickleball?
I started about 3.5 years ago. So it was the summer before my senior year.
And was that just something you wanted to try, or what prompted that?
Yeah, I was just playing a lot of tennis during the year. And so I was like, get out of the whole tennis mindset and play a little bit. My dad was taking it really serious. So we played a few tournaments that summer and actually made a lot of money that summer, which was pretty fun to make money in pickleball and with my dad too. So it was pretty fun.
And Naomi, what about you? When did you first pick up the paddle?
I think summer before my senior year as well.
And when, what, where did that come from?
My mom loved pickleball, or still loves pickleball, but she got me out there and then hit my first ball. And then the UCSD club pickleball team asked me and Kate, shout out Kate, to compete with them in a tournament. And we got third out of 16 teams. So that was really fun.
Prior to that, did you know there was a club pickleball team?
I don't remember. I don't think so.
So, Naomi, you mentioned your mom was big into playing. Is that something that you were watching her play, or just something that she would talk about and you say, okay, yeah, whatever. And then at some point you decided to give it a go?
Yeah, for sure. Exactly that. I don't really know when she got into it, but she's playing like every day, wakes up at 4 a.m., just grinds.
What are the basic differences from tennis in terms of maybe mindset or training or those kinds of things?
Honestly, I was a mental nutcase playing tennis. So getting into pickleball is more like, there's nothing to lose. You haven't been playing it for too long. While with tennis, I played for, you know, 13, 14 years. And there was a lot of pressure to, you know, to perform and to do well. Cause it's like, that's all I did. And that was like my life. But then once I got into pickleball, it was like, everyone's been playing for 7 years and here I am just picking it up, but I'm like killing it. So I was like, this is awesome. And there was like not a lot of pressure on me at all. So
Daniel, is that similar for you when you were getting started with pickleball, that, you know, there obviously are similarities with tennis, but it was just something that you're pretty low stakes to get started?
Absolutely not. I'm the exact opposite. I took tennis as just go with the flow. This is kind of what I did my whole life. And I wanted something different. I don't know. It's just grinding all day, every day, 5 hours a day since I was 2 years old. I definitely was not feeling it at the end. And pickleball, I like really cared about. I wanted to make it pro. I was like absolutely like honed in when I was training. It was like very specific. I actually bought a $2,500 ball machine, and I'm like training these very specific things. I'm watching game film, all this stuff that I never did in tennis. Like tennis, I was just talented. Like all the coaches, especially Timmer, would say, is like, I just walk on the court. I had sand in my shoes from the beach. And yeah, I didn't really care that much, to say the least. But in pickleball, immediately, I wanted to be as good as I possibly could. And it's so fun just to have something like that, that you're like, you actually care about. So yeah, it's been fun.
Were you that serious about it when you right off the bat, or is that something where you played it, had some fun, and then said, okay, maybe I want to get serious about this?
No, I was serious right off the bat. I think I played for a week and then played my first tournament, and I lost in the finals, I believe. And I was livid. I was like, all right, never happening again. I'm going to win everything after that.
And Naomi, what was your experience like as you were kind of getting started and learning the game?
Yeah, for me, because it was so new and I didn't really know what the future had in store for me with pickleball specifically, because I was still so focused on college tennis, because Sebastian Bader didn't let us, you know, go into pickleball because he wanted us to focus on college tennis. So I didn't really think I was going to take it seriously. And then towards the end of college tennis, just like Daniel, I also was burned out and I just wanted to like finish tennis and then go right into pickleball. So like, yeah, definitely like the last 2 months of tennis, I was like, when is this over? I needed to get into pickleball.
Naomi, let's stick with you. So playing pickleball, what have you been able to take from your time as a tennis player? Like what has transitioned over and what skills help you be more competitive with pickleball?
Definitely footwork and athleticism and somewhat the mental side of college tennis has helped me, I guess. But I think they're very different. And I guess ground strokes and power and footwork, I guess, have helped me. But honestly, it's not very similar.
And Daniel, what would you say to that? Do you see similarities or not so much?
Yeah, I definitely agree with Naomi. It's a lot of people think they're so similar, but when you start playing at a high level, it's like the intricacies are just so different. And so in the beginning, it actually took me a long time to get my tennis mind like off. I trained so hard to get all my tennis tendencies to go away, basically. And that took the most amount of time. And now it's kind of gone full circle. Now I'm like, oh, wait, there's a few aspects that I like totally changed. And now I'm going back into more of my tennis skills. So yeah, it's just a ever evolving sport. And I love that. There's layers upon layers.
For sure.
Playing pickleball, what makes a good doubles partner and how do you find them?
Oof, that's a tough question, because I just broke up with my long-term doubles partner last tournament. So I just say it's very similar to tennis in that aspect, where your dynamic with your partner is just so important, and it can kind of like fall off a cliff. That's kind of what I had, is we were doing super good and everything was like a feedback loop, basically, is he trusted me more. He had more confidence in me every tournament we played. But then one bad match and one thing kind of just instills just a little bit of distrust. and like unconfidence, and I can feel that, I can sense that, and then it's just a loop that just went straight downhill. So yeah, that dynamic with your partner is just so important.
And when you're looking to play those events, I mean, is that something, Daniel, that you have control over, like you, who you play with? Are you signing up together? Is that how that works?
Yeah, it's very, even in the top pro scene, it's very interesting how you get partners. It's just kind of like, you want to play this tournament? Yeah, okay, I'll do it. You know, and sometimes people get their feelings hurt because you'll be like, say yes to someone, but then someone better asks you and you're just like making an excuse to get out of it. You know, and there's a lot of that, especially in the top pro. It's just like, yeah, it can kind of get in people's feelings hurt. But
yeah, I could see that. It's kind of like dating, right? You're there until something better comes along.
Exactly like dating. Yeah.
And so, Naomi, for you, what makes a good doubles partner? How do you find success? Because in terms of tennis, that was one of your strengths at UC San Diego was doubles action. So how, but in the college level, obviously you're being assigned by your coach who you play with. So for you, what makes a good doubles partner? Or
yeah, I think in the beginning, it was more like, who's better than me? But now it's more like, I have a whole checklist with my coach, and they have to be older than me, or at least mature. They have to have a lot of experience, and they have to be able to carry me in terms of like mentally and physically, because I get down on myself for like, because I haven't been playing for so long, I don't really know what to do sometimes when it's like when we get down in the match and don't really know what to do. So I have to rely on my partner to carry me.
And how do you try to, I mean, you obviously have that awareness sitting here having this conversation now, but in the moment, is that something where you're able to check yourself, or is it you're so involved in what's going on the court that you can't really realize that when it's happening, when you're kind of getting down on yourself like that?
Yeah, I mean, I think I recently figured it out, but it's still in the moment. I have to get myself out of it, but it's nice to have a partner that will help you get out of it as well.
And what about, Naomi, pace of play? I mean, pickleball moves so fast, right? And, you know, tennis matches, at least at the collegiate level, right, can last hours and hours. So how do you, when something doesn't go your way, how do you try to put it behind you and move on? Because, you know, the next serve is coming up now.
Yeah, luckily, pickleball has timeouts. So that's what you do. You call a timeout. But once you're out of timeouts, I think the best you can do is a tell timeout. But it's so fast, but I think tennis is faster, and I think that they don't compare really.
Is there, Daniel, I want to go to you on this. How would you describe the mental component of what you're dealing with when you're playing pickleball?
Well, I think I didn't really think that much about the mental side of tennis. Like, I knew it was a big part, but in pickleball, just because I care so much about it, I really want to improve. I look at the mental side more, like probably 90% of my training, and kind of when I'm watching game film and everything, is all mental. And it's like, oh, I see my head went down, and I put in slow motion, and I see what my antics are on the court. And then I'm like, okay, I have to change that. And I journal about it, and I try to keep improving it, because that mental side is just everything in pickleball. Because a lot of the matches are a lot shorter, right? You only go to 11 points. And so sometimes if you get in your head, it just rattles off points, right? You can be up 8-0 and then all of a sudden it's 8-6 and it's really tight. And yeah, the game can be like just flipped really, really quickly. And so that mental side of it is just everything. And confidence is everything in pickleball.
And you say that you pick up on some of your tendencies watching back game film. Is that something that, did you do that when you were playing tennis collegiately? Was there game film? Like, were you able to review your actions, you know, after a match?
I don't think in my 21 years of playing tennis, I don't think I spent more than 2 hours watching myself play. So the answer to your question is absolutely not.
Got it. But when you started playing pickleball professionally, is that so right off the bat, that was a component of your game or your practice or your training, I guess?
Yeah, absolutely. It was like I wake up and I'm going to watch myself or other people play. And like, I've probably put in hundreds and hundreds of hours watching game film in just the last probably year and a half.
And Naomi, what about you? Is game film an important part of your improvement?
Definitely. My coach emphasizes film, and he gets mad at me when I don't film, but I've been better at it. And it definitely is, I think, the number one thing beginners or any level has to do to improve, because you see everything when you watch yourself back.
I was going to ask about, so what kinds of things can you see on film that you might not have realized in the moment, whether it's something with your body language or it's something with your technique?
Not so much body language, but it's more like positioning on the court. The court, like, positioning plays a big factor in like where the ball can come from or like what you cover, because it's so fast that if you're in a good spot, it goes right to your paddle. And if you're not, it's just terrible. So looking back at film, you can check your positioning, your how far you are from the kitchen, and like it's important to be more right than you are or more middle to cover, or like, yeah, and also patterns and what you're doing wrong with your footwork and combos and everything. You can see everything. It's crazy.
How do you, Naomi, adjust to or get used to or thrive it with the speed of the game? Because it is, I mean, it's a small court. It's everything is so fast and so accelerated.
Practice, honestly, and high level rec games for sure, because the better competition and the faster ball you receive is, you know, you're going to get used to that pace. And then if you play against two guys, you know, the ball's coming so fast and they play on top of the line. So it's hard to get the ball down, or it's hard to get it past them because their hands and the way they cover is just different from a woman. So yeah.
Do you enjoy playing those mixed doubles?
Oh, I love mixed. I think that is my best event compared to women's doubles.
And Daniel, what about for you, the speed of the game? Is that something that took adjusting to, or did that come to you fairly quickly?
Yeah, it was pretty fun when I was at some point I was playing tennis and pickleball at the same time. And it was always funny when I went to tennis, it was like the game moved so slow. And it was fun. Like when I'm playing doubles, everyone on the sidelines would always be cheering and like say stupid pickleball things. Like they're like, oh, it's a pro pickleball player. Anytime we would get like fast hands, you know, in tennis. But I'm like, this isn't fast at all. Compared to pickleball, it's like you get six shots in a second back and forth. And in tennis, if it does happen, it's maybe like two shots within a second. So yeah, it's definitely very fast. I feel like I got into it pretty soon, just figuring out how to do it, because the paddle is so much smaller than a tennis racket, so you can really like flip it around, and it's just so fun when you get volley to volley really quick. It's like the most fun thing ever. So I was just always drilling that with my dad, and that helps a lot.
Daniel, how would you find a good paddle?
So like I said before, confidence is absolutely everything. So I've used three paddles in 3.5 years, basically, right? My dad gave me a paddle. He said, this is good. And I took it. I'm like, okay, this is the best paddle on the market. And I just tell myself that all the time. And then I'll believe that and I'll play like that, right? And so it takes me a lot to have to change paddles, right? I got sponsored by Selkirk. And so I was like, man, I got to leave the best paddle on the market. But then I used the one I used with them. And it was like, I then put that in that place, basically, where I'm just like, okay, this is the best paddle. I'm not one that ever like tries out different paddles or demos or anything, because I think that hurts your confidence in yourself. You know, you're second guessing the paddle or whatever, you know, instead of just, no, this is what I choose. And that's it.
Naomi, what about you? How do you find a good one, or have you found yours?
Yeah, I've tried like all the paddles on the market, actually. You know, people say whoever gives you the most money, but I'm big on loving the product, and, you know, you have to promote what you're using. So the more you love the product, the easier it is to promote it. And I've tried a lot, and I think the most important is how it fits your game. And I think a paddle that will help your weaknesses be better than what you're good at be better. I don't know. I just think it's important to find a soft paddle if you hit hard, or like a hard but poppier paddle if you hit too soft. And I think paddles do make a big difference for sure.
And so for you, is that trial and error?
I think currently every brand will have the paddle that fits your game. So if you love a brand, stick with the brand and find the paddle that works with you. But yeah, all the technology is from China and whatever, everything works for you.
Love that. Daniel, let's talk about playing professionally. When was your first tournament?
Yeah, so like I said, right when I started, after a week, I played a tournament. It was just a little money ball. So that it's very similar in tennis. There's money balls, and then there's kind of like low-level ATPs, and then the big ATPs. And so these are where like a bunch of people put in a prize pool, and then the winner takes all, or first, second, third place takes it. And so that first week I played one, and it was a small money ball. So I think I made like $400, gained second place. But it was really cool. I was like, oh wait, I can actually make money with this. And then during that summer, I then went and played a tennis tournament, and I won the next weekend. I won a little money and won in the tennis. And then I went to pickleball the very next weekend and I won that one. I was like, oh wait, this is actually awesome. And so I think the next year I actually played like an ATP tournament, which in pickleball is called PPAs. So I played my first one ever. I think it was Kansas City Open, and I did pretty good. So it was fun.
Were you nervous going into that?
Yes. Actually, now that I think of it, Kansas was my second one. The first one was Dallas, and I did awful. So now that I remember, it's like you put a lot of money. They're really expensive, the entry fees. And a pickleball game can be done in anywhere between 7 minutes and an hour. And my first match was a 7-minute, where it was just like, I was so nervous. I play and I didn't take any time out. All of a sudden, the guy beats me 11-2 and it's like 7-0. I'm just like, oh wait, I can take a timeout. And this is like 5 minutes into the match, you know? I take a timeout, I come back, and well, I lost. And there's no backdraw or anything. So I was like, oh wait, I just spent like $500 and I'm out in about 5 minutes. It was, yeah, kind of crazy.
And whether it was Dallas or Kansas City, as part of that, you know, you're paying the entry fee to compete, and then you have to get yourself there and pay all your expenses, all those things, et cetera.
Yep.
So it's a big investment.
It adds up. Yeah. Luckily I played singles and doubles. So the singles was I think it was probably a 5-minute match. And then doubles, I was kind of ready for that nerves and everything. And I did a little meditation before, and like, I kind of was in much better headspace. So I actually won a couple matches in doubles. But yeah, it was just like, it's a lot. Luckily I'm from Dallas, so my parents live there and I had a very cheap flight there. So I was like, okay, not much expenses. But when they all add up, you have to get a rental car, hotel fees, expensive flight, it can be upwards of like $2,000 to play one of these tournaments sometimes.
That may last 7 minutes.
Yeah.
Hopefully not. Well, Naomi, in your case, what was it like the first time you played for real professionally? What was going through your head?
Definitely a lot of pressure, but I guess I got used to it because I played a few cash games before. I played a professional tournament. I first played APP and two of them, and those were hard to get through qualies. But then I transferred over to the PPA, and I think I played 3 or 4 tournaments and I made it through qualies every time with mixed and gender doubles. But in the beginning, it's definitely expensive, because I think for two events it's $700, and then for all three events it's like $1,000, plus you have to, you know, travel and get a hotel and everything. So it definitely does add up.
Were you the first time you walked out there, were you just looking around in awe, like either what did I get myself into or oh my gosh, this is amazing, or somewhere in between?
Oh yeah, I was excited to play because I hadn't been playing for that long. So I was like, oh, let's see where I'm at. And, you know, and then once I got to PPA and I made it through qualies, I was like, oh yeah, like I can actually do this for real and, you know, do well in it. So yeah, it was awesome.
And Naomi, playing Major League Pickleball as well, like with the team aspect, how does that fit into what you're doing with PPA?
Yeah, so luckily I was signed earlier this year with PPA, and you can only be drafted if you're signed. So
got it.
I got drafted, and it's been an awesome experience with the team. It just reminds me of, you know, the college days and having a team to you know, cheer for, because when you're playing just regular mixed and gender, it's just, it's you and your partner. But with MLP, there's five other teammates, so six total, plus a coach and, you know, a manager and an owner. And it's like we're a little family, and it's, yeah, it's a great experience.
So, but in that regard, in terms of the team aspect with Major League, right? Like, because it's a team, I mean, you're not controlling who you play with or if you get into the lineup or et cetera, right? Because it's the coach's call, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Well, I was signed and drafted this year, which is like kind of crazy because I should not have been drafted, I'll say. Like, it was all luck and the people, you know, but I, you know, Heart Eights drafted me because they saw potential, but I'm the alternate. So there are two main guys and two main girls. And if, you know, someone gets injured, then I hop in, or like if we win 3-0 or are down 0-3, then I hop in. But it's been great to just watch high level pickleball, and everything's paid for, and it's, yeah, it's great.
Yeah. So I mean, there's some security in that too, but I would also think that being able to see your teammates, even if you aren't out there competing, you're able to learn and see what's going on in that environment and kind of get yourself ready. So when your opportunity does come, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, it's kind of scary if you just hop in because you've been sitting there the whole day and you're like, and they're like, okay, now you're in. I'm like, okay, I'm just going to play really bad now. But it's great to just watch and to support. And I'm supposed to play Dream Breaker, which is singles, if my team gets a 2-2, but we haven't gone there yet.
And what's how often do you compete as a team?
So it's like a summer thing. And I think there are, I don't know, like around 10 events maybe, but we're playing six of them. And yeah, we're going all over the country.
Right. I mean, that's kind of a cool thing.
Oh, for sure. I've already been to St. Louis and Austin. And now it's like New York, Grand Rapids, and back to San Diego. And it's awesome. Yeah.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. What will it be like being back in San Diego later in July?
I cannot wait. That's my second home. Love it.
That's so cool. We're chatting with Daniel Traxler and Naomi Nguyen this week on TritonCast. Let's chat about your time as Tritons. And Daniel, for you, you started out at San Diego State and then made your way to UC San Diego. Why did you make that move after your first year?
I made the move mostly just because of the coach there. I had a little falling out with them just because there were six seniors the year I started. And so he was like, he promised me a lot of scholarships the next year. And the six seniors left and he got six new freshmen. And then he was like, oh no, we're going to keep your scholarship the same. So I was like, I have more value than that. I'm going to leave, especially because in practice, I was being every single person. And the coach kind of was thinking very much like, oh, I know my seniors, I know how they're going to play. And he didn't know I was kind of a wild card in like an actual match, right? I could play in practice, but he didn't know in a match. And he never really tried me out that many times. And at the time when I signed, UCSD was D2. And so I really wanted to go to UCSD in the beginning, but it was just, I couldn't get myself to play for a D2 school. And there was a little bit of an ego in there. And yeah, I'm like, no, I'm a D1 player. Come on now. And when they went to D1 the next year, everything came about like just absolutely perfect because I really like Timmer. And just a lot of times life throws at you like lemons and you make lemonade, whatever. Like everything went wrong, but it all went like for the perfect way. And it ended just amazing. I feel like everything has kind of come out like that. Even with the end of tennis for me, is like, I had a really tough last year. I hurt my back and I'm like, man, I have to quit tennis. But that's right when pickleball came and it didn't hurt my back. And so, yeah, everything kind of happens how it's supposed to.
And when you came here to La Jolla, that was in the throes of COVID. So what was that experience like?
It was very different because I went from San Diego State right before COVID. So very social life. Everyone talked to everyone. It was a great time. And I feel like it was perfect because I got that out of my system. All the partying, all the social, like, got out of my system. So I actually was able to go into the second year, like, really dedicated on tennis and schooling and put my efforts in that and not feel like I missed out on anything. So I really feel bad for people that kind of started in 2020 because it's like, oh, did you have like a full college experience? I knew I did that first year, basically.
Naomi, what about you? From Goodyear, Arizona to La Jolla, how did that happen?
I think everything was all luck, but I went to a tennis academy in Florida, Everett Tennis Academy, and I filmed a really awesome recruiting video and reached out to Coach Liz. Love Coach Liz. And she offered me a spot and I took it. But yeah, it was all meant to be.
Well, first of all, we need to find this video. Secondly, what were some of your favorite memories as a Triton?
Being with the team, being in Hawaii with the team, and being coached under Coach Lizzo. And she's like a second mom to me. And my girls, they're like my sisters. Yeah.
And Liz is present tense, really into pickleball as well. Did you ever talk?
Oh, we've definitely played together. And she and Michael are amazing at pickleball, and they play it every single day, and it's awesome.
That's fantastic. Daniel, do you ever play tennis? It sounds like maybe you're literally done with the sport.
Yeah, I'm done with the sport. In the last 2 years, I think I've played like 3 times. I used to coach while playing pickleball, but now I'm like, okay, I needed to detach kind of from my day of being a tennis player, just because I started tennis when I was 2 years old. So it's kind of all I knew. I was homeschooled and yeah, it was all tennis. And then finally I was like, okay, I got to figure out who Daniel is. I got to detach from that part. And so I kind of cut all ties to the whole tennis scene where I'm not coaching anymore. I'm not watching any tennis. I don't play. I got rid of all my rackets, which some people might get really mad at, but I don't regret it in the least at all.
Naomi, what about you? You on a break from tennis?
100% same. I'm never picking up a racket again. I also sold everything, all my rackets, my stringer. I fully burned out from college tennis and the sport completely. But yeah, I don't think I'll ever get back into it. I love pickleball too much.
How often, Naomi, how often do you practice pickleball? I mean, is this daily and how long every day and what kinds of things are you working on?
I try to do 4 hours a day, maybe one rest day a week, but I love to grind. It's just so fun. Usually a drilling session, and then that's for 2 hours, and then a rec session for 2 hours.
And Daniel, what about you? How often are you practicing and getting better?
Yeah, it's been up and down. So like probably 2 years ago, I found myself overtraining a lot. So I was playing upwards of like 6 hours, and I was always getting injured and like being on the cusp of injury where like, oh, my wrist was just hurting. It was fatigued. My shoulder was always hurting. And it was like, I wasn't improving that as much. And so now what I do is I play a lot of tournaments. So I have that level of stress and like nerves. And if I'm not playing, then I'm drilling on my ball machine basically. So now I've lowered the intensity, or the intensity is much higher, but the quantity is much lower. So I'd say probably around 2 hours a day now.
Got it. And Daniel, what about like nutrition and diet? Is that similar to what would have been the case in tennis? Is there a prescribed regimen there?
Yeah, it's so important because the most important thing on the court besides mental is, well, still mental, like your neuro biology, basically. How fast is my brain working? How am I making the right decisions at the right time in a split second? And so you can see if you have a cheeseburger right before you play, it's like all of a sudden your hands, I'm like, man, why am I playing so bad today? And it changes your whole game. And so when you're eating healthy, taking the right like vitamins, as well as, for me, the most important thing I found is hydration, that I didn't realize how much I lose of like salts and everything. And so just really focusing on that. I have multiple, like throughout the day, I have to have my electrolyte drinks that in tennis, I never thought of. I just drink a little water. That's it. All right. Everything's fine. But in this, I really focused on that nutrition part.
Naomi, is that similar for you?
So anyone that knew college Naomi knew that she had the worst diet ever. And honestly, nothing's changed. I still eat a bunch of fast food and candy and chips, and it's terrible, but I don't think you need the same diet and fitness level you had when you play tennis, because I think tennis is a crazy sport, but I think I should change it. It would help me a lot. I just don't get as tired because I don't play singles. I play, you know, gender and mixed. And I think the girl does, you know, they do their part, but they're not running around the whole entire court covering every single ball, or, you know, not like tennis where you're just alone on the big court. That's like four times bigger than the pickleball court.
Maybe this is a silly question, Naomi. I have no idea. Is there indoor and outdoor pickleball, or like, do they both exist? And if so, are there differences between them?
Yeah, they do both exist. Most places have both. There is actually a very big difference, and depends on the altitude. The ball can like sit up or not sit up, and the ball can fly or whatever. It's the same thing as tennis. And I think I like indoor more because the ball doesn't change.
Yeah, are all the tournaments outside?
No, I think most MLPs are inside, but a lot of the PPA events are outside. It just depends on the state and the venue that they can get.
Got it. Daniel, do you see any difference between the two?
Yes. I actually just went to Fort Collins to play a PPA out there, and I was supporting Naomi in the finals. I was watching on the sidelines. It was pretty awesome to watch her play that. But it was high altitude indoors, and I still live in San Diego, and so I'm always playing outdoors. There's very few indoor places, and it's sea level. And so I went out there, and I thought, oh, it'd be fine, just have one day of practice before the tournament, and I played awful. Every single ball went like 10 feet deep, and I'm just like, it was so hard, because the wiffle ball does not weigh much, and so wind affects it a lot more than a tennis ball, and altitude affects it more than a tennis ball. So it's just, yeah, it changes a lot indoors for sure, and the altitude.
That makes so much sense. And I would think here playing in San Diego area at sea level, but there's also, well, depending where you are, I guess, but coastal breeze, right? Like that wind can really get a hold of things and make it challenging, couldn't it?
Yes, it's windy every day here. And so it is good practice. Like there's a lot of people that live up north and they're always playing indoors, and then they come out to a tournament and it's like, oh, it's windy. And a lot of these PPA events, they're all outdoor and in very windy places. If you watch pro pickleball, sometimes it's just like, wait, what is happening? This ball is going 10 feet out and then all of a sudden it curves in, and it's like, wait, this is a weird sport. But that's just what happens on the tour.
Naomi, might that be an advantage for you, having played here, when you come back next month, having played in this climate for a while?
Definitely not. I don't do very well with the change. And I think it's important to have the right paddle, because a lot of people don't know, like the ball and the paddle, just like it can slip off, because it's like the wiffle ball is just so smooth. And if your paddle's smooth, it just doesn't connect well and doesn't dwell, because it's like there are no strings. So it's really important to get, you know, that perfect paddle for sure. Get Proton. That's what I'm using right now. But yeah, it's important to go to the venue early and to get practice in, because you might have to change the way you swing, the way how hard you hit the ball, the way you move your feet. It's really important to get some practice in before you play.
For a PPA event, do you have access to the facility beforehand?
Sometimes you don't. Depends how big the facility is and how many courts they have and what's their availability. But if you're in the same area and you get a, you know, court outside, it's going to be very similar in terms of how the ball flies and the way it sits up and stuff.
Gotcha. Daniel, where do you want to improve the most in what part of your game?
It's a thing I work on the most, but definitely my mental side. It was always a struggle in tennis, and now I just see it so much more in pickleball. It's just I get hard. I'm very hard on myself, so I lose a few points, and I get mad at myself, and then I get self-conscious. And if you are ever self-conscious, it's the worst thing for your game. And so I'm trying to, get out of my head. And that's the most important thing. And then also for me is kind of just getting my tennis roots back. I work so hard on dinking and like kitchen games, which is very different than tennis. And now I'm like, oh, I gotta just sometimes just rip, like stop thinking so much and just rip balls and go for them from the baseline. And that's what I'm working on a lot of drives. And I'm kind of implementing my tennis drills that I used to do in tennis that I haven't done much in pickleball, but it helps a lot.
Naomi, what about you? Where do you want to most improve?
Yeah, I'm definitely going to steal Daniel's answer. I need help with my mental side. My mental side has always been very bad in tennis, and I could never figure it out. But with pickleball, you know, a lot of people have more confidence in me than I do in myself. But I think when I step on the court, I have to play for myself, and I have to, you know, make myself proud and no one else. Because once I play for someone else, it's like, oh, there's just too much pressure. And, you know, you can never live up to someone else's expectations of you. So you just have to play for you. Yeah.
And hearing both of you talk about this sport and the joy it brings. Naomi, what's your favorite part about playing pickleball?
Everything. I don't know. It's just so much serotonin. I freaking love the sport. There's so many things to get better at. And you can make pickleball your own game. Everyone plays differently, and you can play so well or be so good at play at a very high level when you're not athletic, or like, I don't know. There's just a lot of ways around, you know, figuring out what works best for you.
Daniel, what about you? Favorite part about the sport?
Well, I'll say something that might be controversial. I think pickleball is by far the best sport in the world.
I agree.
yes, thank you, Naomi. And I'll tell you why. I'll try and explain this, is that with almost any other sport, especially a racket sport, you have to have so many hours and years to get good at, right? Like in tennis, there's not any like top pros that started when they're 10 years old. And when you start so young, it's never your decision, right? No matter if your parents like fully force you to play, or if they don't force you, it's still not really your decision, right? That's kind of how I had it. I played tennis because I wanted to be like my sister. And I wanted attention from my dad, basically, right? Because my sister was really good. I wanted to be like her. And that's what drove me to play tennis. And in pickleball, it's like, I chose this for myself. And I'm old enough to like truly choose this, if that makes sense. So you can decide to play it when you're 20 years old and then at 25 be top in the world, right? In tennis, I don't think that's possible. Or in basketball and football and in golf, like, I don't think it's possible. I think you have to have it decided for you when you're at a young age. So that's my argument of why pickleball is the best sport in the world.
I think that's why people would argue why it's not, because they think it's like a joke and it's easy and whatever. You try it for yourself then.
I don't think it's easy though.
No, but there's a lower barrier to entry, right? Like, I mean, as somebody who's super, super recreational at best, right? But like, got it. I understood what I was trying to do, and I can go out there and, well, with the right level of competition, be quasi-competitive pretty quickly, whereas many other sports, that's not the case. And so many sports are expensive because of the equipment and the court or field or, you know, that you might need to even get out there, that's a barrier for many as well.
Yeah, I think that with pickleball, you can play with any level. You can work on the shot that you need to work on with any level. I can play with a 2.5 probably and get better probably, but I wouldn't. But, you know, there's a possibility. But I think with tennis, you know, you cannot play with someone that's worse than you. You just don't gain anything, I think. Or like same with basketball or football. I don't know.
In college tennis, right, there's the kind of the sportsmanship aspect. And certainly at our level in the Big West and UC San Diego, you're often calling your own lines, those kinds of things. Is there an element of that in pickleball as well?
Yeah, I think it's tough, mostly because of how you call it. If you're on one side, the ball can look way in. And then if you're on the other side, the ball can look out. And because the ball doesn't depress like a tennis ball would. And so you can be on the sidelines and the ball lifts way in and everyone's like, no, that was in. And you call it out and you know that's like quite a bit out. But then everyone's saying it's in, you know, or people on the other side saying it's out and they say it's in. And it makes it really tough to call, especially when it's happening so fast. And if you move your head, you're moving your point of reference. And so that, yeah, it's really tough. Especially I found that the best cheaters will cheat on them knowing where the ref is sitting, if that makes sense. So the ref thinks that ball looks like it's out, you know, when it's in. So.
Yeah. And with AI, there's like a new line system and they use AI, but if you look at the challenge, it's like a tiny small dot and that's what they're going off of. If it's in or out, because like Daniel said, the ball doesn't compress, but yeah, the ball can look different from any angle and it's everyone just calls everyone a cheater and it's not. It could be true, but I don't know.
That's so interesting. Naomi, where's your favorite place that you've played, competed so far?
That's a tough one. Probably San Diego. I don't know. I have to compete more to answer that.
Daniel, what about you?
Definitely the San Clemente tournament. It was my first time ever qualifying for a PPA event, and it was a big PPA event. And I played the number one player in the world, Federica Staxroot. And it was just such an amazing experience. I will forever remember that because there were a lot of people watching. Like I had never had that many people watch, and a lot of them were people I knew. And it was in my home city, and it was against someone that I watched a lot of game film. Like I just would watch him, Federico, and Ben John, and myself. And I would just, every single match, hours a day, I'd watch him. And then all of a sudden I was across the court from him. And it was just like the best experience I could ever imagine.
That's so cool. What about somewhere for both of you? What about somewhere that you haven't yet played that, you know, hosts events that you want to get to at some point?
You go first, Daniel.
Okay. I really want to play in Asia, mainly not necessarily because I want to play there, but because I want to go to Bali after. So there's a lot of Asia tournaments. And when you're signed by PPA, they help pay your way there. Right now I'm not. And so I need a flight out there. And so it's expensive. So yeah, hopefully soon I'll get signed. I can go out there. And then just a quick little trip to Bali to go surf. That's my ideal little tournament.
I like how you thought outside of the country, because I was only thinking within the country. But yeah, I agree. Asia, because that's my people. But pickleball is actually really, really big in Vietnam. And I'm Vietnamese, so I can't wait to meet my people and to...
Is that something that's realistic for each of you to be able to play internationally through PPA? Like, is that in the cards?
I was actually planning on going to Ho Chi Minh City, which is in Vietnam, in August. And hopefully I'll get financial help from a paddle company, but I would have help from PPA. But I would need to find partners, and I think that's a very... The hardest part probably is finding... partners. Yeah,
and for me, I think next year I definitely want that to happen. There's while MLP goes on, a lot of the people that aren't in MLP, they go to Asia because there's just a lot of Asia tournaments during that time. And so, yeah, there's one basically every week right now. And I'm watching a lot of these people I play with a lot do really good out there. And I kind of wish I did. So next year, that's definitely my plan. I want to go out there.
That's amazing. Well, thank you both so much for the time. And we can't wait to follow your successes from now moving forward. Congrats on the success so far. Keep it up. And thanks for joining us this week on the podcast.
Thank you for having
us. Thank you so much.
Daniel started a real estate business to fund his pickleball dream called Coastal Pleasures Vacation Rentals. And as for Naomi, the Major League pickleball season is in the home stretch. You can catch her and the rest of her Hard 8 teammates in action at the Barnes Tennis Center in San Diego from July 16th through the 19th. You can check this week's show notes for their Instagram handles so you can follow Daniel and Naomi on their respective journeys. Well, thanks for listening this week, and don't forget you can find us on all of your favorite podcast platforms by searching TritonCast wherever you get your pods. And a reminder, you can listen to any of our 129 episodes anytime on demand. Just visit ucsdtritons.com/podcasts. Coming up soon on TritonCast, we'll check in with UC San Diego Athletic Director Andy Fee as he nears the one-year mark of his tenure. And we'll sit down with the Commissioner of the West Coast Conference, Stu Jackson, as the Tritons are just 1 year out from being a WCC member. Be sure you're subscribed on your favorite podcasting platform so you don't miss a moment. New episodes of TritonCast premiere on Wednesdays. For more on TritonCast, follow us on X at TritonCast. And if you have a suggestion for a future guest, send us a tweet or email us at TritonCast@ucsd.edu. We'll see you back here next time.
You've been listening to TritonCast. TritonCast is a production of UC San Diego Athletics Communications. Please subscribe, rate, and review this podcast on your platform of choice. If you have show questions or comments or suggestions for future guests, email us at TritonCast@ucsd.edu. You can also follow the show on Twitter @TritonCast.